Welcome to The Exchange on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Mary Hartnett. Last night, I took part in a candidate forum organized by the League of Women Voters in partnership with Siouxland Public Media. There are 9 candidates running for 3 seats on the council. The primary election is set for next Tuesday, October 10th. The top 6 vote-getters move on to the general election on November 7th. I posed questions to the candidates last night, along with KSCJ's Woody Gottberg and the League's co-president, Cindy O'Kane. Here's that forum as candidates are introducing themselves.
Please state your reasons for running for a seat on the Sioux City Council. Mr. Davidson, would you please answer first?
I want to run because it feels like sometimes the council doesn't listen to the people, and I want to be the person that would listen to the people and hear what they have to say and try to fix the issues that they have.
Hi, my name's Pete Gretkin, and the reason that I would am running again for city council is because I have a great passion for the city. I was employed by the city for nearly 38 years as a police officer, and then decided to run for city council, and lo and behold, was elected, and the 4 years has gone by very quickly. I have always had this philosophy that if I'm going to do something, I want to be surrounded by good people. And in my opinion, the city of Sioux City is a great organization. There are a lot of good people. And I knew it would be something that would fulfill me and give me the opportunity to continue public service and work with a lot of good people. And that's really why I'm doing it, because I think the city is a really good organization. Thank you.
Go ahead. Hi, my name is Jake Youngers. I am running because I believe that we need representation from a youthful perspective. At the same time, we need to have new ideas. I believe the current city council can do a better job of listening to the people, just like Mr. Davidson says. I would say there's ideas that we propose and people react, but at the same time, we don't educate them. And I think if we took the time to educate people, there wouldn't be as much of a reaction on everything like that. So I'm here to share my voice and be the voice of people that don't have representation.
I'm Dan Moore. I want to thank the League of Women Voters for holding this important forum so that you can all get to know us. I want to thank the citizens that have shown up tonight and that will be listening over the airwaves to this forum. I think it's extremely important to the growth of our city. I'm running for re-election because I bring a common sense attitude to City Hall. I find solutions to problems, and I am a good listener. And I'm also a team player, and I think I've represented Sioux City for these past 4 years to the best of my ability, because anything I do, everything I do, I'm representing all of you at one time or another. Thank you.
My name is Alex Waters, and I'm running for re-election, if you will, or the extension of an appointment for a couple of reasons. And I think first and foremost is I believe in this community. I really do. I didn't grow up here. I came to college at Morningside College, and then following that, attended Creighton University, where I received my master's, bounced around a little bit, and came back. And I came back and decided to really start my life here because I believe in where we are going and what we're doing. Since serving on city council, I've become more dedicated to this community. Before even serving, I served on multiple boards and organizations, really integrated myself in this community because I think that's important. To not just talk about these ideas, but take action. Be a part of the community and try to make that difference. And I see that my serving on city council is that's what I've tried to do, is take these ideas, listen to constituents, and like Dan was saying, really work together to make a difference and be the change that we wish to see in our community. That's what I want to continue being a part of, is being a part of that in the long term.
My name is John Olson, and I'm the loudest one here, apparently. My name is John Olson. I'm 39 years old. I am from, obviously. I live in Morningside. I got a wife and 3 kids. The fact that we don't really have a whole lot of family things to do in this town. Bothers me, and it bothers my children. We have parks, yeah, but there's only so many you can go to in so many times. So, basically, I'm here because I want change, just like everyone else. And, yeah, I think.
Thank you.
My name is Dennis Quinn. I want to run for council because I raised three kids in this town. I have three grandkids growing up here. I think Sioux City is moving forward, and I want to be a part of that. I retired 3 years ago from the school district. I enjoy working with the public, and I think I have some positive attitudes to bring to the council and help it move forward the city.
My name is Doug Waples. I've lived in Sioux City 45 years. I've lived in the same house in the same neighborhood for over 42 years. I'm running for city council for a couple, three reasons. I think we're behind on our streets, our water, sewer lines. I think we spend too much money on outside consultants and then don't follow through maybe with the report that we spent the money on. And then the other thing is, the main thing is city projects. I think a lot of them don't get done on time, and it negatively affects people's business and their lives. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Watchhorn? I'm Brett Watchhorn. I've lived in this community for 30 years now, I guess. My whole life, basically. I am running for council because, from what I've seen recently, I believe I can offer a different perspective than those who currently sit on the council. I want to be a voice for the people who, unfortunately, don't attend these meetings because either they don't have time or they just can't, or they don't feel their voices heard. I want to be a voice for them. That's really why I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now start with our panelists' questions, and we'll begin with Mrs. O'Kane, followed by Mr. Gottberg, and then Mrs. Hartnett. Mrs. O'Kane, if you would please direct your question to Mr. Gretkin, and we'll proceed in order.
Okay. Is there any one particular issue in city government that you're concerned about or passionate about that you'd want to change or improve?
First and foremost is to continue with economic development of the downtown area. I think that's really important in an effort to continue to boost the economy that I think the past council has really done a good job of. I'm also concerned about parks and recreation activities. I personally believe one of the better decisions council has made in the 4 years was to reinstate parks and recreation department at a department head level.
Mr. Gottberg, if you would direct your question to Mr. Jungers.
All right. One of the first things that a new council will deal with is always the budget. So it'll be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. What kind of budget and financial experience do you have that would qualify you to deal with a budget in the hundreds of millions of dollars?
Mr. Jungers?
For a budget in the hundreds of millions of dollars, besides personal finances and investing, I would say take a look at what people want. I would say that's mainly what I do. Obviously, I'm not a millionaire, so new numbers are gonna be out there. But I would say we need to be fiscally responsible on everything that we do, and we need to have balanced budgets coming from City Hall. And if we don't do that, we won't be able to achieve what we want to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hartnett, if you would direct your question to Mr. Moore.
Okay. I wanted to ask, in line with the people who came out today to give their opinions on the comprehensive study that the city is proposing, what do you think is the most important part of that, or maybe a couple of the important areas of that comprehensive study that the city should focus on?
On the comprehensive plan?
Yes.
I think the important areas, first of all, is that we collectively pull our ideas together to grow the city and to grow it in a very deliberate manner It's important to have a comprehensive plan. I've always believed in a comprehensive plan. I was on plan and zoning for over 20 years, and it's important to the community that we have that. I think that the growth of Sioux City, the residential growth combined with the industrial and commercial, has to be done in an orderly fashion so that we can all coexist. I think that's extremely important. Thank you.
And Ms. O'Kane, if you would direct your question to Mr. Waters.
Okay, South Sioux City recently is a yet-to-be-named solar park, but it's going to produce 2.3 megawatts of capacity, which means that will meet 5% of South Sioux City's total electric needs. Do you think that Sioux City should move toward making the city more energy efficient by using renewable energy sources such as wind or solar? And do you have any suggestions on how to make that happen?
It's something that I've been working with city staff talking. Right now we have plans as far as biofuels, working down at our wastewater treatment plant, looking into the collection of gas and being able to pump that back into a pipeline and make a profit off of that. I think that's something that we can do to be more energy efficient. I also had a meeting with representatives from MidAmerican Energy talking about what ideas they would have as far as wind energy or solar. I understand that in a city population, wind energy is not as effective. And so looking at solar panels on top of city buildings or other ways to collect that energy, I think is something that we should continue to look into to offset that cost and really take care of our environment. So that's something I would definitely look forward to improving upon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Gottberg, if you will direct your question to Mr. Olson.
Thanks. The current council in a couple of weeks is going to have to make a decision as far as the management of the city events facilities, either going private or remaining public as it currently is. One of the things you mentioned in your opening statement was that we needed more family things that would go into those event facilities. So to do that, would you support privatizing the city's event facilities, or would you like to see the city still manage them?
That's kind of a catch-22 right there. I believe that the city should get out of the entertainment business. It should. But then on the other hand, you have all those city employees that work there. What are you going to do with them? I think we need to worry about our citizens and their wages before anything else. So, I mean, so the answer to the question is yes and no. I think they should privatize it, but in a way that where those employees are able to keep their jobs and be able to keep, you know, be here and have a sustainable, you know, income. Thanks.
And Mr. Gottberg, if you would direct your question to Mr. Watchorn.
The city does have regulations in place regarding the number of pets you own, and also regulations specific to particular breeds of dogs like pit bulls. Any thoughts on, if you're elected, would you want to change that as far as the number of pets a person could own, or are the dog breed regulations too strict, or are you happy with how they are?
That's actually the perfect question for me, because I disagree with any of the regulations on any pet breed. It's not the pet that causes the problem, it's the owner. It always will be. When it comes to the number of pets, we live in a city. There has to be a reasonable medium. But we are also a rural community, so I don't believe that if someone wants to have a chicken coop in their backyard, they should be able to, honestly. But yeah, that's the kind of change I would look for. There are some restrictions currently, I believe, on this what kinds of pets you can have, and that in this rural community, that bothers me. But yeah, I would definitely change the pet breed. I would at least bring it up, because that's ridiculous. You can't blame a dog for what an owner teaches it, no matter the breed. That's
all right, thanks.
And Mr. Hartnett, if you would direct your question to Mr. Davidson.
What would you do about the fireworks ordinance? There's so much concern, a lot of people upset with the length of time that people could set off fireworks. How would you change it, or would you change it from the way it is now?
I think that I would look at shortening the amount of days. I think 10 was a lot. We don't need to have, you know, 4th of July for 10 days. I think 3 or 4 days is perfect. The hours for it, I don't know if we need to set fireworks off at 10 a.m., but then again, little kids like to go out and play with fireworks too, so I'd say probably make it noon at least, because there are people in this community that work all three shifts, and we got to try to find a way to be respectful to them also. It's just, you know, one of those things you got to find a compromise on, because some people want it, some people don't. But I think shortening it down to 3 or 4 days is probably the best bet on that.
And Ms. O'Kane, if you would now direct your question to Mr. Jungers.
Mr. Jungers, the state eliminated some of the collective bargaining rights of public employees. Do you believe the city should restrict its bargaining with the unions to only wages, or continue to bargain with all the other traditional items that they are used to bargaining for?
I don't think the city should limit what they can bargain with. I think they should leave everything on the table as is.
Thank you. Mr. Gottberg, if you would direct your question to Mr. Moore.
All right. Have you tried the reverse angle parking behind the Promenade Cinema yet on 3rd Street? And do you favor expanding that kind of parking elsewhere in the city?
That's really a good question. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome, Dan.
As I drove by it today, as a matter of fact, I was thinking, I think I'm going to try it because there's not a whole lot of traffic. And I didn't. You know, reverse angle parking is good for some people. But it's a big change for me. So I haven't tried it. I'm not sure it's going to work. I know the concept is so you can back in and then you can pull out and you'll see traffic better, but it's the backing in part that I'm concerned about. Not everybody has a backup camera that they can see if they're going to hit anything or how close they are to the curb. So I think it's parking in general needs to be studied, and I would advocate for a lot more discussion from the public on our parking situation.
Thanks.
Ms. Hartnett, if you would direct your question to Mr. Waters.
This is also about parking. It seems like the ramps are often half full. Now we have a different kind of city parking, a free hour in the ramp. What do you think we can do to use these ramps in a better way? Maybe try and get people to go in them more.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good question, and I think it's something that the current council has been looking at and really relying on our different commissions as well. You know what I mean? With downtown partners and as far as the parking committees, I think that we need to continue to have public input. I think that's important, and we have those committees for a reason. But as far as I'm concerned, one thing that we need to do is a little more uniformity to be able to understand when it's free and when and how much it costs or where they are. But the other thing is marketing of that. You know what I mean? Allowing people that not only live here know when they're free and when they can park there, or now there's the 1 hour free, what that impacts. I also think that people coming into town need to know, and I know that we're working on that right now. We're doing a lot better with advertising, using the Blue P logo, and directing people, but I think that as long as we continue those efforts, people will understand them a little more, and people coming into town will understand where they need to go. And I think ultimately that will drive a lot more use of those ramps, which are expensive things that we have in our city, but I think we need to make sure we continue to use them and market those as such.
And Ms. McCain, if you would direct your question to Mr. Olson.
Mr. Olson, the city of Sioux City is becoming increasingly diverse. Our population is not only, numbers are growing, but the types of ethnic and racial groups are growing. In what ways can the city attract, advertise, or reach qualified minority employees?
Put it out there more, I guess, you know. I don't see anything out now that, you know, shows to bring them here or to apply or anything else, right, as of right now. So I think the best thing to do would be to put it out there and get the applicants that you want. That would be my answer, I guess. Yeah.
Thank you. And Mr. Gottberg, if you would direct your question to Mr. Quinn.
Traffic cameras, would you like to see them go away? Would you like to see their use expanded? I know part of this is predicated on what the state may eventually decide, but How do you weigh in on traffic cameras and intersections in the city?
I'm not a fan of traffic cameras at all. So I would like to see them all go.
Fair enough.
And Ms. Hartnett, if you would direct your question to Mr. Waples.
What would you like to see changed in how people are able to approach the council to air, you know, their concerns? They also, I know at the end of the council meeting, they always have people able to come up and talk about their citizen concerns. But what other ways do you think communication might be improved?
I mean, I guess I think it's pretty good right now. I've attended a lot of council meetings and spoke numerous times in the last year and a half, and a couple times I've been here and I was the only citizen here, and usually the only one that stayed till the end. So I mean, I think they're all very approachable. You know, all you've got to do is you call City Hall and you leave a number, and sometimes you get a response back in an hour or less. You know, I don't see a problem with the system they have right now. I think it's very, very well handled.
And the next question will be to Mr. Watchorn. Do you think there are areas of city services or staffing that should be reduced or increased? And please explain.
Oh, reduced, absolutely. I read an article earlier this year pertaining to how much we pay some of the higher echelons of the offices here in City Hall, and I was disgusted. It makes me sick that we're wasting that much money on positions that are redundant. And the one I have in mind, I need to do more research on before I can truly speak of it, but I believe there's a great need for reduction, in fact, in many city positions, mostly here in the higher level rather than on the streets.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Gottberg, if you will direct your question to Mr. Davidson.
Thanks. The city fire rescue is soon going to be taking over emergency 911 service at the end of the year. Some are fearful about the cost for this kind of being thrust suddenly upon this city to take over these duties. What are your thoughts on that? Are you in favor of that, or would you like to see some other plan devised?
I am in favor, but I'm not. Also, I thought that SPI did a fabulous job. It's sad to see them go, but also in the same aspect, I do think that taking it under as a city organization, along with like the fire and rescue, would be a wonderful thing, because why not combine them both? Because the firefighters are their first responders anyhow, and if the paramedics are right with them, it allows it for a better, faster response time, I believe, for our citizens.
And the next question to Mr. Gretkin.
You've talked a little bit about your goals for the council. You said one of your main goals is to help improve quality of life in the city. What have you done, do you think, in the last 4 years to attain that, and what would you still like to do?
You're absolutely right. Quality of life is very important to me, and I believe maybe the best thing that I've seen happen in my time on the council was, again, the upgrade of the Parks and Recreation Department to a department level. If you look at some of the features that they have worked on and have accomplished, the new Parks and Recreation Director in a little over 2 years, Cone Park, Green Space, Pearl Street Park, they have the council approved just yesterday the Monarch habitat at the new Prairie Park, riverfront development, trails. Trails are huge to the community, and I think there are even many more that I would like to see. I think it's as simple as ask yourself a simple question. What do you want your community to be like? And once we figure that out, I think that's what we work towards. That's the quality of life that really interests me.
All right. So now for this next round, we will be starting with Mr. Moore. Okay,
It's okay.
She looked at me, so I looked at her. I guess, in your opinion, what do you think is the most important issue facing the city at this time?
I think the most important issue facing the city right now would be safety of our citizens, that we continue, that we stay vigilant about police and fire protection. There are equally other important issues facing the city as well. We have a real challenge with the shortage of labor, of workers, and we need to work hard on that because that impacts economic development directly, and it's something that we just need to just really work hard at. Another thing we really need to just keep doing as best we can is to call on our small businesses. You know, it's great that Seaboard Triumph is coming to town, that they've opened. That's really good for this community overall, but we also have many, many businesses that we have to reach out, help them in any way possible, and then advertise that Sioux City is open for business. And City Hall has to have that attitude, that culture that we're open for business.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Gottberg, if you will address your question to Mr. Waters.
Well, I know you're involved with Sioux City Go, and a lot of people say we have to do things to keep our young people here. We have to find ways to keep our young people employed. With your spot on Sioux City Go, and also as a councilman, any new ideas if you get elected to a full term that you'd like to see implemented to make this a better place for younger people?
Yeah, it is something that I'm very passionate about, Woody, as you know. I really, that's a perfect example where I don't just talk about it. I really try to actively look for solutions. And so I've worked and served with the Sioux City Growth Organization. I serve on the Young Professionals of Iowa board, all of these things to try to come up with solutions. So I try to not only connect the young professionals that are here to make sure we're retaining, but actively recruiting as well. One of the new things that I've been working on, I actually worked with our human resources department to expand our internship opportunities. I wanted to look not only what we can do at the city level, but also talking with economic development and saying, what are new developers coming here saying that they want? What type of jobs? And then using my position at Morningside College, working with young professionals and students every day to say, what different educational opportunities or degrees do you need to be able to stay right here in Sioux City? What are the industries and the roles that you can fill that would keep you here in our community? In addition to quality of life, we have to make sure the jobs are here. I want to make sure that our young professionals are enjoying living here and have the jobs that will keep them here.
Thank you. And then Ms. Hartnett to Mr. Olson.
A lot of people have talked about the lack of housing, especially affordable housing in Sioux City. What do you think the city can do to kind of help provide more affordable housing, maybe to lower and lower middle income workers? We have a lot of those workers coming to town.
I think there's a lot of places around town, especially in the downtown area, that can be used as apartments, even lower rent apartments. And one of them is, it just happens to be up for sale again. That's the that's the Howard Johnson Hotel. You know, I mean, there's a possibility for 100 apartments there, essentially, and different things. If we're not going to use it as a hotel, because let's face it, when the Marriott comes here, we're not. It's not going to happen. So we might as well figure out a useful way to use it, and I think that would be it, man. Just turn it into low-income housing or moderate-income housing and open it up.
And this okay, and over to Mr. Quinn.
To follow up on that, there is a shortage of housing and affordable housing. Do you support the city getting more involved in providing subsidized housing?
You know, I saw something in the, today. I can't remember where I saw it, but it said if you had these empty school buildings around town, what would you do with them? And, you know, I got thinking about that, and I think that would be a place to start with buildings like that and to put that in there. And I think it would be good for the people, because we got these people that are going to be coming in for the new plan out there, and where are they going to be living? You know, and the housing right now is pretty overpriced in Sioux City, because it's when CF moved out, when they were here, they left, those prices were inflated, and they're still pretty inflated. So, yes, I would be in favor of something like that.
Okay, thank you.
That's the first time she held up a sign for me, too.
And Mr. Gottberg, too. Mr. Waples, please.
If elected to the council, what's the one thing you'd want to change from day one in city government if you got on there? What's the one thing you would look to change?
I guess something very important to me is to make sure projects are done on time. Whether it's a project for at a citizen's, close to a citizen's residence, or like the West 7th project. I think it needs to be watched very closely. It's impacting a lot of businesses down there, and it needs to be done on time. When the weather's nice, people need to be there working.
And Ms. Hartnett to Mr. Washburn.
A lot of people got to know you after you stood up and sort of defended the use of fireworks this summer, and you were one of few that were sort of standing up and saying, we have the right to do this. What did you learn from that experience? It seems like you got to know a lot of people. You learned a lot about how the city government works, right?
Yes, you know, and I was already fairly familiar with some of it just from the outside perspective. That it was nice to actually get my opinion voiced. For once, I felt like I had not done that before, and honestly, I had not. When it came to that particular issue, I was hot on that. I was very, very for non-regulation in general, but I softened my position to try and fit with the government mentality of it, to soften my position to the point of, I want to hear what everybody wants to think. I don't want to hear what the four people up here want to think. I want to hear what the people want to think. I proposed a vote, and I still think that is the best option, and I don't understand exactly. I haven't done enough research to see why exactly that couldn't be done, but I believe there should be more community involvement in these decisions. The more public vote we can have, the better, in my opinion.
And back to Mr. Davidson, Mrs. O'Kay.
Mr. Davidson. Okay. There are, this is kind of a nostalgic question. When I was growing up, downtown was a very fun place to shop. Now more and more people are shopping online. Stores are closing. The mall isn't quite what it used to be. What are some ideas that you have for revitalizing downtown?
I would love to see us try to bring in more businesses, retail, anything downtown. I want to see our downtown thrive and grow. I think that getting the businesses down there, we need to look at, what the taxes are on these buildings, because it seems like you see a shop go up and then within a month it's gone. The parking situation also is another issue on why people don't come downtown. I think, with the offering the first hour free in the parking ramps is something that is a good idea to help try to bring businesses in, because then people will be able to park and not have to worry about being charged, for that first hour. And if they go over an hour, it's not that expensive to be in there for a couple hours and walk downtown and shop.
Thank you. I would remind everyone to please speak into the microphone so we can all hear you clearly. And then Mr. Gottberg, if you would direct your question to Mr. Gretkin.
Every year seems to be a tight budget year. Are there any ideas you have as far as cost sharing between the city and not just the county, but also the school district? Are there things the three entities should be doing together to save taxpayers money, since we pay property taxes to all three?
I don't have any specific ideas, Woody, but I do know that ongoing right now that the finance director, Donna Forker, meets on a regular basis with the county to discuss cost-sharing efforts, and I think there are things that can be done. We do it very effectively with the Woodbury County Information and Communication Center, handling both the communications aspects of the city and county, as well as the IT and informational technology efforts, and they do a great job supporting both the county and the city. We haven't found much more. I think we are doing some things in terms of large purchases, computers for both places. So there are some items that we both use in the course of our daily activities, our responsibilities, and those things we do share. Beyond that, I really don't know how well it would work to expand beyond what currently is being done. But it is something that they're working on a regular basis.
Thanks.
And would you direct your question to Mr. Jungers, please?
What would you do to try and bring more, say, white collar jobs to town, that sort of middle class jobs? So many jobs come to town, they're in factories. The latest jobs have been sort of in, packing houses, but we always talk about how we want to bring more young professionals here. What can we do?
Sure. One of the things we need to do is we need to compete with Sioux Falls and we need to compete with Omaha. You look at Sioux Falls, they have healthcare as an industry. They have different banking and different industries there. We need to bring those jobs here. We need to compete with Omaha. Their entertainment district will look at Hard Rock. We have part of a downtown that's growing. The other part we're taking away from. So, if you want to invest in everything, we got to bring jobs from them. We got to compete with them head on.
Okay, and this will be our last round of questions for this part of the forum. So if you would direct your question to Mr. Waters, please.
We're skipping Dan.
Yes, we are. He'll get the last one.
I already asked him a question. This is on the Mayor's Youth Commission. Will you continue to support the Mayor's Youth Commission? What can you do to get more young people involved with city government?
Yeah, I think that's an incredible opportunity. It's one thing that I didn't know a lot about prior to serving on council, and seeing the incredible work, not just because they're here tonight, but telling them that the great stuff that they've been doing, especially fundraising efforts and funding different initiatives. I think recently they did the Frisbee Golf Park and different things up at Grandview and a couple other things that they made big donations to. I think that not only it gets them involved in that level, but also learning more about what's happening in our city. And it's that integration, it's that working together where they're going to see and be a part of that growth, and I think ultimately want to stay here. That's why I really believe in internships and expanding those opportunities for college students, getting them more involved in the community too. Because I think at the point that they buy in and they see what's going on and feel a part of the process, they want to live and grow here too. And so I really would look for any opportunity to get them more involved.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And to Mr. Olson over here.
In your opening statement, you mentioned that you thought the city needed more family things and you'd want to see some change. What type of family-oriented amenities don't we have now that you'd like to see us have?
Well, I think Mr. Greckin kind of touched on it a little bit with the trails. I think we need an expansion of trails here for both walking and bike riding and everything. I think Riverfront area should have, the bike rentals, like Omaha and Sioux Falls have, you stick a credit card in there or whatever, and then you'd be able to do that. It's simple, easy, and be something real fun for families to do. I think we need to expand on parks, actually play equipment on parks and everything else in most parks. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm dying here. So, that's about right.
Okay. Thank you. And your question to Mr. Quinn, please.
Okay. In light of recent events in Las Vegas and tragedies like that with guns and shooters, do you think that we're doing enough with public safety when we have big concerts sort of downtown in Battery Park and outside? Or do you think there's something else the city could do to provide more security?
Well, with this deal here in Las Vegas, I don't really know how you would, if it happened here, what kind of security you could do to stop something like that. I mean, that was just out of nowhere, I think there's, plenty of security. The security is good for where it's at, but if you got people that are outside the venue, like this guy was in a hotel somewhere or something, I don't know what you could do with it or how you would enforce it. I think the day we're living in now, it's crazy.
And this is okay to Mr. Waples.
I guess I'm going to go back to revitalizing downtown. What ideas do you have? There are a lot of small businesses, and I don't know who mentioned you need to support small business, but what would you do to enhance utilizing downtown and shopping downtown? And parking is an issue. Do you have any ideas on how to fight that issue?
Well, I guess the only way you're going to enhance it, you're going to have to do something to entice a business to come in. And you're either going to have to do it through giving them, you know, a break on taxes for the first year or two, or help them with refacing the front of the building if they're working with an old one. It seems like the downtown deal's been going on. We've been trying to save it for a lot of years. I mean, I grew up in a small town. We used to come to Sioux City every Monday night. You know, or at least a couple times a month, and that's when all the stores were open. And now, I think the mayor made the comment one time, and some of the eating establishments downtown aren't even open on Monday night. So, you know, you've got to change the way some people are doing business to help it.
Thank you. Got room to Mr. Watron, please.
I know that you've attended meetings and you've watched what some of the city departments have done over time. In doing that, is there anything you'd like to see cut in the city if you're elected to the council where there's a department or an entity that you said that you'd say that's top heavy or we can save money by cutting this thing or that thing? Anything like that that you'd bring to the table if elected?
My opinion on that is a little bit, what's the word? I don't know what word for it, but the one that I dislike the most and is my pet peeve in the city is the city manager's department. And I don't believe that it's entirely necessary, but as I said, I'd like to do a little more research to see if I could trim the fat there. That would be my spot, definitely.
And Ms. Hartnett to Mr. Davidson.
What would you think about making the city council meetings a little later? So do you think that would encourage more people to come, and would you change it if you could?
Absolutely. I think having it start a little later would encourage more people to come. I know right now they start awful early, 4:30. There's a lot of people that are still working that they don't get off till 5. They got to get home, get dinner for the kids. I mean, if we start a meeting at 6, I think it would be perfect for people to be able to come to them.
Ms. O'Kane to Mr. Gutkin. What areas do you think the city can, steps can they take to reduce the city's carbon footprint? I mean, are we doing all we can to reduce pollution, save energy, those kinds of things?
Well, I think we're working on a very big one that Councilmember Waters made reference to, and that's the bioenergy down at the wastewater treatment plant. I think that will provide opportunity to generate natural gas that will could be used effectively and generate revenue at the same time. I think that's really important. I think that the city is doing a number of things, and they continue to work their way through their buildings with lighting changes, going to LED lighting, saving utilities a great deal of money. In fact, I went out to buy 4 LED lights today, and they promised me instead of 9 months, they would last 13 years. So I know we're doing that through the city facilities at the same time. Another really good one would be recycling, to encourage more recycling. I think that's a very important issue. We've gotten better, and I think this council has. Thank you.
And your question to Mr. Genders, please, Mr. Gottler.
We've heard about a proposed Ag Expo in various forms for years. It originally started as something that might be built at the Woodbury County Fairgrounds in Mobile. Now it's part of a developmental district near the downtown area. Are you in favor of the Ag Expo project, or would you like to see a different type of venue?
Sure. No, I'm absolutely in favor of the Ag Expo Center. And I think people talked about making it more recreational for families too, whether if you have basketball or volleyball courts or something like that. But my only question on it is if I know there'd be like a Baumgartner store inside of it, if they're paying for that or how that has worked. I don't know how that's worked. But using the TIF money that they're using to do the hotel downtown and everything like that, I think it's a great deal for Sioux City, and that's how we got to grow. And we have to rebuild the stockyards. So.
And the last question to Mr. Moore.
What project could you point to since you've been on the council? Are you most proud of, or what accomplishment?
Oh, there's so many. there really are. We just have been. I mean, it's just a great time to be a resident, really, in Sioux City. You know, I think I'm going to point to Cone Park right now, because that's going to be something that we can all enjoy. Council's been very mindful of pricing, of admission to use the park. But boy, we got these other fabulous projects that have happened in the past 4 years too. I mean, we're continually updating our facilities, which have needed it over years. One thing I kept saying, I was a broken record on Cone Park. I said, let's have the fund for maintaining. And I had arguments that, well, that's going to be a maintenance-free Cone Park. And I said, there isn't anything that I know of that's maintenance-free at my home anyway. And if you discover what it is, please tell me. But I think it's important that I think that's going to be really a really boost to Sioux City.
And now, gentlemen, I will give you the opportunity to address one of the issues that maybe someone else was asked about, but you were not, and would like to have seconds to say something about it. Mr. Olson, we will be starting with you.
Thank you. Well, I guess I'll just kind of pick and choose here. Jake, Mr. Youngers, you were just asked about the Ag Expo Center. I agree. I think we do need the Ag Expo Center. I'm not 100% sure if it needs to be in the stockyards area to rebuild the stockyards, because that's where the stockyards should be, but that's my own opinion. I know it's gone. It was part of Sioux City history, and that's what it is, but this is supposed to be a city of industry, and we're not. Our biggest venue, I mean, our biggest revenue stream right now is a casino. And it shouldn't be that way. A casino's cool. I'm not saying that the Hard Rock guitar at the top of that building is not flashy and awesome. But with the exception of Seaboard Triumph coming in now, we haven't had anything streaming revenue in here, and for at least a little while. And that's I think exactly what we need.
Okay, Mr. Quinn.
I don't have anything.
Nothing? Okay. Mr. Waples.
I guess I don't have any.
Okay. Mr. Watchhorn?
I have a couple, if that's all right.
Go for it.
I believe Mr. Quinn addressed the question about the hotel project downtown, the current one. Maybe not, maybe not. That's all right.
I do.
I was close.
Yeah.
To my left. But my opinion on that is that I would have agreed with Mayor Scott. The project seems to me to be unnecessary. We already have one hotel that's fallen apart downtown. Do we really need another one that's going to be the same in 20 years? Beyond that, the traffic camera issue, that in my opinion they need to be eliminated completely. The ones on corners, red light cameras, that's fine, that makes sense. The problem I have is how people are forced to pay for them. You can't take cash or anything to the police department. You have to mail it through a third party, which I find just ridiculous. If you can't pay for a fine in the city, you shouldn't be able to get that fine. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. And back to you, Mr. Davidson.
I'd like to just touch a bit on the last question that Mr. Gretkin was asked. Thinking about it, with the going green, one thing the city could do to improve, you know, turn all our old cars in and start getting hybrids, you know, or going to electric vehicles also in the city would probably be a big help.
And Mr. Gretkin?
I don't know where to begin. but I'm going to start with, and I'm not sure, it might have been Mr. Moore and it might not have been Mr. Moore, but the question that stuck out to me, what do you think is important, really important on the, with the development of the comprehensive plan? And I think the response was, to let the people be heard. And I really couldn't agree more. In almost 4 years, not quite, in this term, that I involved myself in, and it's been good. The one big disappointment that I have had is the challenge that faces the council and city government in general to engage, to get the public to engage council.
Go ahead, Mr. Jungers.
I would say kind of what Pete was saying, Mr. Gretkin. I think Doug...
Pete's good.
Pete's good?
Yeah.
Of course you are. Mr. Waffles had the question of how to approach city council. And I would say, based on meetings and stuff like that, I think meetings are at 4 o'clock and there's a meeting before that. But if people can't get off work, then we need to validate opinions that aren't just necessarily here. We need to validate opinions online. We need to integrate social media. And I would say, and if you're not a fan of it, that's the way the world's going. So, obviously, you can censor questions. You don't want bad questions coming in like that. But I think that's what you'd have to start. You'd have to validate every opinion.
And Mr. Moore.
I would like to just say this about all of the projects that have been discussed this evening. I think the input is really good. And there isn't anything specific I want to say about the projects at this time. But what I do want to say is this community, Sioux City, should really be proud because we have all of these projects that we may agree or disagree on. And whenever you deliberate, whenever you have conversation about what's going on, that's what I invite. I like that kind of discussion. It's non-confrontive. It's non-threatening. We can do it in a very civil manner. We can do it professionally. We can do it ethically. And that's what I'm so proud of the residents of Sioux City, because we can have, we can say our piece, we can say it civilly. We do that week after week on the council. We have 3-2 votes, 4-1 votes. Once in a great while, we have 5-0 votes. But you want that as citizens. You want a council that's going to openly disagree with each other. No hidden agendas. You want transparency, and I think that's what we deliver.
And Mr. Waters.
Well, I feel like I could talk about a lot of things. The first thing that I would want to do is just education about different things and researching, because we talk about council times is something that's come up a couple of times. We tried that a few years ago, and actually attendance was lower, and it cost the taxpayers more to have people here after hours. And so I think that's something that needs to be a part of the discussion rather than just saying more people will have come. The other thing I think we need to do is obviously improve our marketing. I think it was Mr. Olson that was talking about a lack of amenities or things that were happening in our community. And I think it's the complete opposite. We have so much going on in our community, but people don't know about it.
That was City Council incumbent candidate Alex Waters, one of 9 candidates at last night's League of Women Voters candidate forum held in the City Council chambers. Alex Waters, along with Dan Moore, Pete Gretkin, Jake Jungers, Nick Davidson, John Olson, Dennis Quinn, Doug Waples, and Brett Watchhorn are all running for 3 city council seats. The primary election will be held next Tuesday, October 10th. The top 6 vote-getters move on to the general election on November 7th. That's it for this week's edition of The Exchange. I'm Mary Hartnett. Please join us next week.